Well, a few months ago, Alison and I attended the CMS Australia Missionary Conference up at Katoomba. And it's a conference where missionaries who are back from vacation for their 6 months of home assignment get together. And it's an encouraging conference. We enjoyed Bible talks and building new friendships with missionaries. And we're greatly encouraged by hearing from the missionaries as they shared stories of serving on their location. And we were particularly encouraged that the missionaries kept making it a priority to proclaim the good news of Jesus, even through many challenges and disappointments and distractions that they face serving cross-culturally. Today, we're going to focus on Jesus' mission and priority and see that even through hard times and distractions, Jesus sticks to his mission and keeps his priority to proclaim the good news. Well, just a bit of background to our passage. Jesus has grown up from the baby in the manger to a man. He was led by the Holy Spirit out into the desert where he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. Jesus then returned to his hometown where he grew up, of Nazareth, where he went to his local synagogue. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he finds the passage in chapter 61. And we'll read it, which Luke quotes for us, in verse 18. It'll be up there on the screen. Yep, it is up there. Very good. Okay, I'll read it. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then Jesus sits down and says to everyone that this scripture is about him. It's fulfilled in him today. He says, I have been empowered by God's Spirit to bring sight to the blind and set the prisoners free. Now, what sort of rescue is this talking about? Well, Jesus' ministry at its core is not a social transformation, but a spiritual one. The poor are the poor in spirit, the people who realize their need for saving. The great word he has to proclaim is, in me, in Jesus, all your sins can be cancelled. All your sins can be forgiven. In Jesus, you can be rescued from the power of the devil over your life and enter the kingdom of God. See, in that Nazareth synagogue, Jesus shares his mission statement. He shares what he's on about. He's saying he's come to undo the devil's rule over the world. He's come to rescue us from being in the kingdom of darkness and take us into the kingdom of light. So the big idea I want us to see today from this passage, Jesus' powerful words bring healing, but his priority is to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. So 2 points. Firstly, powerful words bring healing, and secondly, priority to proclaim God's word. So first point, Jesus' powerful words bring healing. Well, we read, Jesus goes down to a town called Capernaum from Nazareth. He goes down, and he had to physically go down the mountain from Nazareth towards the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum, that town, sat 213 metres below sea level. And on the Sabbath, Jesus goes to the synagogue. And as in Nazareth, Jesus has come to Capernaum to teach. And like in Nazareth, the people are amazed at his teaching. And then we read his teaching is interrupted by a demon. So let's have a look again at verse 33 and following. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. The demon is definitely put off by Jesus' presence. He cries out loudly. He wants Jesus to leave him alone. Why? Because he's afraid of Jesus. We see Jesus then, without any fuss, no ceremony or chanting or magic, he says in a few words, in no effort, "Be quiet, come out of him." And the demon departs, and the man is unharmed. The man is protected. Notice what Jesus has done. He speaks powerful words, and evil spirits collapse under his authority. This is the first miracle recorded for us in Luke's gospel, which highlights the battle that Jesus came to win. He came to rescue us from being under the power of evil. The next scene, we see Jesus goes down the road to Simon Peter's house. His mother-in-law, we see, was suffering from a high fever, and her condition was probably serious because Jesus, we see, is asked to help. They knew he could do something. And Luke tells us that Jesus rebukes the fever. He doesn't heal the disease, he rebukes it. In other words, he's saying, "Bad sickness, get out." Jesus' words are powerful, we see, and the fever leaves immediately. Peter's mother-in-law is healed. And what does she do? The right response to being saved by Jesus. Straight away, she serves him. Well, as we read on, even after sunset, Jesus continued to show his powerful words. He heals various kinds of sicknesses, he casts out more demons, and they obey and leave. Luke, who is recording these events, stresses Jesus' authority. His words are powerful. In my mind, it's like my high school science class being restored to order immediately. I went to Endeavour High in Caringbah, and I remember my Year 9 science class. When my Year 9 science teacher left the room for 10 minutes, there was complete chaos. You know, students would be throwing paper aeroplanes. They'd grab the Bunsen burners and set paper alight. Some kids would be locked in the side cupboards. It was chaos. But imagine when the teacher returned and he says, "Smith, sit down. Jones, turn it off. Preston, throw the rubbish in the bin." And order is restored immediately. Jesus' words are powerful. They bring order. They bring healing. Jesus shows he's come to restore the effects of sin and the devil. So how did the people respond to these miracles? We see in verse 36 there, all the people were amazed. And in verse 37, news about him spread. And notice Luke puts us, the reader, into the scene as a spectator. He wants us to watch the events afresh. We're to imagine as if we're there. Luke wants us to be amazed at Jesus. He wants us to be amazed at his powerful words. He wants us to be amazed at the Son of God. He wants us to listen to his words that save. Well, another reaction to Jesus we see is the people want more of him. They want him to heal all the sick, and he does do lots of healing. But we see Jesus' priority is to preach the good news. His mission priority is to share the good news that people can be cleansed of their sin and rescued from the rule of Satan. So let's have a look at this priority. Verse 31, have a look there again. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Jesus shows his priority to preach the good news of forgiveness of sins, because when he arrives at Capernaum, he starts preaching straight away. Jesus was not silenced by his rejection that he had in Nazareth. He arrives at Capernaum and he starts preaching. And usually when we get rejected for speaking about Jesus, I know I do for me, I shut up and don't speak. But Jesus, despite rejection, he keeps talking about the rescue he brings. And then have a look at verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus' priority, we see there, is to proclaim the good news to many. The people of Capernaum try to keep Jesus from leaving. There are more people who are sick that need to be healed. They don't want to share him with others. And the people of Nazareth in the previous passage, they didn't want to share him either. When he proclaimed in the synagogue that he was God's promised king and his mission to bring spiritual rescue, the people spoke well of him. But then when he shares two past stories of God showing mercy to outsiders, showing mercy to Gentiles, to non-Jewish people, they hate it. They don't want God's mercy going to the Gentiles. So they don't want to share Jesus either. And so they turn on him and they try to kill him. We see both the people of Capernaum and the people of Nazareth want to keep Jesus for themselves. They don't want to share him. One group try to kill him and one group try to keep him. Both groups don't get who he is. But we see Jesus' priority. He's come to proclaim the good news to many. He didn't get put off by rejection and persecution or distracted by many needs. He remained focused on his mission. Jesus stayed focused on his priority to preach that God had come to rescue sinners. He'd come to bring people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as his word goes out, the Holy Spirit opens people's eyes and he's rescuing the spiritually poor and freeing people from the power of sin and the devil. So how should we respond to what we've heard in this passage? Well, I offer 3 points of application. Firstly, let's never forget there's a spiritual war going on. One of the big differences between our culture and in Tanzania is Tanzanians have grown up assuming that spiritual forces are everywhere. And most Australians have grown up in a culture where spiritual forces are nowhere. Tanzanians have grown up with a backstory that believes that the world is filled with spiritual powers and spiritual forces. They believe that every moment of every day is influenced by spiritual forces. And the spirits are mischievous. You know, one moment they could bring you blessing, and the next moment they could bring you harm. So the Tanzanians think about the spiritual world all the time. The problem for Christians growing up in a Western culture like us is we grow up believing at best God or anything spiritual is removed from daily life. Our passage here challenges us to see what is going on in the spiritual world. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, we read, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You know, a possible problem for churches is we can forget that there is a spiritual war going on. Churches can become focused on, you know, running various leadership programs or the best strategy for church growth or having nice buildings. Churches can do all these things and forget about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's important to run helpful programs and to maintain our church buildings. But these programs won't save people from the power of Satan. So let's never forget there's a spiritual battle going on for the souls of people. Secondly, let's never lose hope. Perhaps you're feeling a sense of despair when you listen to the news and hear of troubles in our world. You're aware of the evil in our world. Or perhaps you're conscious of darkness in your own life. Maybe you're suffering with a mental or physical illness, or a relationship breakdown, or you're struggling with temptation, and you know the brokenness in your own life. Despite what we see in the world and we experience, we aren't to lose hope as Christians. Jesus, the Son of God, has come, and he went and intentionally died on a cross for you and me to save people from their sins and to bring us into a friendship with God. And then he rose again and he was lifted up into heaven, and he now rules over the universe. Jesus is king of the universe and not the devil. And Jesus will come again to destroy all the devil's works and make everything perfect. And we look forward to that day when he will gather those of his people that are saved and will live in the new creation forever. So let's never lose hope as we wait for Jesus to return. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You don't have that certain hope of eternal life. Can I encourage you to talk to Simon or a Christian friend here, how you can know Jesus and have that certain hope? The third application, let's never sideline the Word of God, the gospel. There are many churches that have moved away from proclaiming the good news of Jesus, or they have thrown away parts of God's word, or they adapted to fit in with culture. The devil loves when churches stop depending on the power of God's word. And the devil loves when churches redirect their priority from preaching God's word to do other things. We saw Jesus' priority was to preach the word of God, to preach the good news. We need to keep God's word and the gospel central in all our ministries. In Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." CMS, the organization that is sending us, has four key values. They are gospel priority, cross-shaped, long-term, and in partnership. I'll read you the explanation of the first value. Grounded in God's word, the Bible, we strive to be faithful gospel witnesses in all that we do, so that people might repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation and grow as his disciples. The gospel is our priority. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to save and bring people into God's kingdom. So please pray for Alison and I that we will keep the gospel central in our ministry in Tanzania. And we will pray for your church too, that you will keep the gospel central in your ministries. So friends, let's never forget there is a spiritual war going on for the souls of people in our community. And let's never lose hope. Jesus is King, and he will soon return and bring us into the new creation where everything will be perfect. And let's never sideline the word of God. The gospel is the power to save. I'm going to pray, so let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace poured out onto us through your Son Jesus and his death and rising again for us to bring us back to you. Please open our eyes to the spiritual battle in our world and help us as your people to resist the devil, to stand firm in the faith. Lord, help us to see that Jesus is Lord and to look forward to the certain hope to his return, when he'll bring in the new creation where there'll be no more sin and no more death, and we'll be with you face to face. We look forward to that day. And until that day, Lord, help us to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus in word and in life, so you may be saving people that you bring us into contact. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.